And now the game where distinguished people try to distinguish themselves even further by playing Not My Job. This week, we are very pleased to welcome to our show the junior senator from the great state of Missouri, elected to her first term in 2006, Senator Claire McCaskill. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Now, Senator, by my count, you're our fifth sitting senator to be on the show, but I think that you have an advantage over any of them in that this is not your first time in a game show. Is that correct?
No, I'm kind of a professional.
Oh, really? What was your experience?
Well, I got out of law school, and I was so far in debt, and I had always watched game shows. So I planned my first vacation as a young lawyer to go out to Los Angeles, and I tried out for three or four game shows, got on one, and was a four-day champion of the game show, the precursor for Alex Trebek, a game show called High Rollers.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was the challenge on that game show?
You had to answer questions, and if you got the question right, if you were the first one to answer the question correctly, then you controlled the dice, and you rolled these big fuzzy dice and pulled numbers off the board, and with each number you pulled off the board, you got the prize associated with that number.
Right. Well, what did you win?
I won a bunch of stuff, a trip to Italy, and a fur coat, and a diamond necklace, and about $35,000 worth of stuff. It was great. It paid off all my student loans from law school.
Wait a minute. What did you do, hawk the stuff?
Of course. I sold it.
Really? You're not still walking around the Senate chamber with your fur coat and diamond necklace?
No, it's not exactly election year material.
You should, though. It'd make Bernie Sanders all mad.
It certainly would.
That'd be great. Now it's hard sometimes, of course, for junior senators to make a mark in that august body, but we know you have. You have established yourself, gained fame as the best and most consistent Twitterer in the U.S. Senate.
Well, and I'm not sure what kind of laudatory award I should get for that, but it's great. I like tweeting.
You like tweeting?
I do.
You don't mind saying that sentence, "I like tweeting"?
It is a little embarrassing.
Kind of hard to imagine Daniel Webster saying that.
Or Harry Truman.
True, but there you are. And you're known for tweeting. Do you get any grief about it? Does anybody say this isn't senatorial? Or have you ever said anything on your Twitter feed you shouldn't have?
No, I think I'm pretty careful. I try to be authentic. I think I'm different than most people who tweet in Congress in that I do it myself.
Do you really?
Yeah, it causes my staff heartburn. But I think it's kind of neat that I can say what I'm thinking and not be edited by anyone.
So, and they're terrified by that fact.
They are terrified by that. And so are the other senators, by the way.
Oh, really?
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're telling me that senators have, like, tweet aids?
They do.
Really?
Tweets.
Well, they call themselves communication staff.
No, wait a minute. You've been sitting there. You've been Twittering. I follow you on Twitter. I know how often you tweet. You must have made some errors. Come on now.
Well, I have. Like, once or twice I've said something that was just wrong. And then there's been a couple of times that I probably engaged with hateful, mean people when I shouldn't have.
Who, like John Boehner? No, sorry.
But all in all, I think it's kind of it's a neat way to communicate to people in Missouri. Kind of cool.
And you did make an interesting tweet about healthcare a little while ago. You were going, I think, meant to talk about the public option. But it didn't quite come out.
That was embarrassing. Yeah. I left a letter out.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm betting it's not the TN option.
And that's exactly right. It was not the TN option.
It was great, though, because it ended up with Senator Orrin Hatch denouncing the Democrats for advancing a pubic option,
exactly,
which he thought was inappropriate.
No family values.
No family values at all. And you make that, and you're not like, oh boy, there's the headline in tomorrow's St. Louis paper.
And the other, on the other hand, though, David Vitter saw it as an excellent opportunity for bipartisanship.
Oh. You're going to get in trouble for laughing at that in the chambers tomorrow.
I'm just giggling.
All right. Yeah, giggling is fine. And you're like, David, I just giggled, really.
Honestly.
I didn't want to be rude, honestly. Now, another thing, I'm not sure if this is unique in the Senate, it sounds like it might be, is that you were a cheerleader.
You know, I'm not sure that that's unique. We have a lot of women now. I'm willing to bet that
Trent Lott was a cheerleader.
The previous president of the United States was a cheerleader.
That's right, but you're right.
And they
Trent
both
Lott.
Look terrible in skirts, I gotta say.
Maybe it's common. Maybe there are cheerleaders in high office. Does your cheerleading background give you any advantages as you negotiate the Byzantine ways of the Senate?
I'll tell you what. I lost out as cheerleader for my senior year in high school, and I thought the world had ended, and that's the year I started debating. and doing speech contests. So maybe my lack of skills in cheerleading is what brought me here, huh?
Well, wait a minute. You're telling me that incisive, rational analysis is more useful in American politics than mindless enthusiasm? I don't think so.
Go healthcare.
I don't think you're right there, Senator.
Go healthcare.
Go healthcare. Give me an H.
That's right.
Let's talk about healthcare. It's so complicated. Have you been dealing with the same pressures from left and right that everybody else has? You had town meetings. You were very adamant about going ahead and doing them, right? How were they?
I did attend across the state and all different parts of the state, and you know, some were rough. People are upset. You know, Missourians are they're pretty thoughtful folks, and they want you to be straightforward and tell them what you really think. And if they disagree with you, they'll live with it as long as you don't play games with them and try to rationalize it and beat around the bush. But we're going to figure this out. I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to end up with a good bill that the American people in the long run are going to be very grateful for. I really do think we'll get a good bill.
Among your other interests, in addition to politics and policy, is sports. As everybody knows, if somebody plays in Missouri, you're a fan. Right?
True.
Have you ever given in to that political temptation and made a dumb symbolic bet with another politician over a team?
I have.
Well, what have you bet?
I bet Ben Nelson ribs versus Omaha Steaks over the Missouri-Nebraska football game a couple of years ago. And I collected steaks. And by the way,
yes.
I offered him up like sides of these gorgeous ribs from Kansas City, and he sent me like two little bitty ribeyes from Omaha. And I just like wouldn't let him up. I said, "You are the cheapest person I have ever encountered in my life."
Some Democratic voters feel the same way, by the way.
Finally, he sent me more steaks just to shut me up.
Really?
Yeah.
You extorted more steaks out of Ben Nelson?
I did.
Good for you.
I did.
I think that's cool. Have you ever lost one of those bets?
You know, I really, I haven't done it very often. I think that's the only one I can remember. And I won that one. Maybe that's why I remember it.
There
I
you go. One last question. The New York Times listed you as among the 17 women most likely to become president. So any ambition?
Only 17?
Only 17.
I really like my job. I get to sit in Harry Truman's desk and I'm doing a lot of stuff that I enjoy. It's intellectually challenging, and you really do have to be a little bit crazy to want to run for president. It's a nutty deal.
That would explain a lot.
It would.
Well, Senator McCaskill, we're delighted to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're not really going to make me say this line, are you?
This week, seemingly devoid of holidays, had a great one. September 30th, Wednesday, was International Blasphemy Day. And as part of our annual celebration,
oh
it's our favorite
God.
Holiday. Exactly.
That's great.
We're going to ask you three questions about blasphemy.
I love blasphemy.
Get two right, you'll win a prize. One of our listeners, Carol's voice on their home answering machine. Get all three right, and you'll be in big trouble. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Carl, who is Senator Claire McCaskill playing for?
Peter, the senator is playing for Howard Luby of Birmingham, Michigan.
All right. First question. You may think that blasphemy in the Western world went out with witchcraft trials, but no. In 1967 in Britain, a book of cartoons was accused by some of blasphemous content. How did the book's publisher react to the charge? A, by having the most blasphemous cartoon tattooed right on his chest. B, by changing the name in the offending cartoon's captions from Jesus to Tony. Or C, by sneaking into the book warehouse, taking all the copies, and burning them personally.
Oh, my goodness. I got to go with Tony.
You're going to go with Tony?
Yeah.
Guy up in the cross. Oh, Tony, look. That's your choice?
I think so.
No, it was actually C. He burned them. The book was called Massacre. It was a book of cartoons by a French cartoonist. And the head of Penguin Books, which published it, responded to the first criticisms of its content by personally stealing and burning all of the copies.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Booksellers were then told the book was out of stock. Next question. One of the most entertaining bits of blasphemy, in my opinion, over the last few decades, was Monty Python's Life of Brian. That movie was banned in many countries. They came up with the idea to parody the Gospels when what happened? A, John Cleese's mother said to him, "Oh, John, you think you're so shocking, but really, you could never do anything to offend me." B, when Eric Idle, tired of being asked what their next project would be, began to answer, Jesus Christ's lust for glory. Or C, they were trying to come up with an idea, and just as they were about to give up, a Jehovah's Witness came to the door.
Should I say, oh, my God?
Yeah, well, that would be appropriate.
I think it may be, it is B.
You're B, Jesus Christ, lust for glory. You're right. Very good. That's what happened. They were producing Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they were constantly being asked what their next project would be. And Eric Idle started saying, Jesus Christ's lust for glory, just to shut them up. And then they started to think, hey, wait a minute. All right, this is very exciting. You get this last one, you will be the winner. Blasphemy was a crime in Britain until 2005, but was finally taken off the books after everyone was embarrassed by a blasphemy charge made against what? A, Jerry Springer, the opera. B, a TV station that was showing Benny Hill show reruns. Or C, a line of greeting cards.
Oh. Let's try A.
Jerry Springer, the opera?
Yeah.
You're right. Very good. After the opera was broadcast on the BBC, a Christian group filed a blasphemy complaint saying that in the opera, quote, Christ is shown apparently wearing a nappy, swearing, saying that he's a little bit gay, while God is portrayed as an ineffectual old fool, unquote. The case was dismissed, and everyone in Britain was so embarrassed, they struck down the blasphemy laws soon thereafter. Carl, how did Claire McCaskill do in our quiz?
Peter, the senator had two correct answers, so she wins for Howard Luby.
Well done, Senator.
All right.
Yes. Well done.
Now, Phil. Get Carl.
Claire McCaskill is the junior senator from the state of Missouri. Senator McCaskill, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This has been great fun.
Well, thank you so much, Senator. We're really a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Good luck to you in the rest of the term.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on.